نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد It brings me great pleasure to address the Muslims in the city of Ottawa concerning this very important topic, which we will be discussing this afternoon. That topic is, what is every Muslim required to know about his religion? And we all are, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and mercy, Muslims. And as we know, Islam is that religion which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in exclusion to all other religions. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that the religion with Allah is Islam. And Allah also says in the Qur'an, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, that he who seeks religion other than that of Islam, it will never be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he will be among the losers. So Islam is the religion which brings success in this world and brings salvation in the hereafter. And all other ways, no matter how fine they might seem to certain people, bring only sadness in this world and condemnation, the hellfire in the hereafter. And for this reason, it behooves us, indeed it is required upon us, that we understand this religion of Islam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us. For as all of us know, and as all of us sense, there are many Muslims, perhaps maybe not the Muslims who have gathered here this afternoon, but there are many Muslims who don't know anything about the religion. All they understand about them being a Muslim is that they might come from a certain country, their parents might be Muslims, his name might be Muhammad, or her name might be Fatima, and so forth and so on. But as far as the meaning of the religion of Islam, what does it mean to be a Muslim? When you talk to such an individual, that individual will only shake their shoulders and say, I don't know. And this is a very serious matter indeed, for paradise, winning paradise, which is the goal of every Muslim, and staying away from the hellfire, which is the aim of every Muslim, is not obtained, or not attained, merely by identifying oneself as a Muslim. But rather, one must be a Muslim in meaning. And this brings us to the question, is what does Islam mean? All of us know that Islam is an Arabic word. And this Arabic word has two meanings. This Arabic word has two meanings. The first meaning is al-istislam, or submission, to surrender, to voluntarily surrender unto Allah. This is the first meaning of Islam. And the second meaning of Islam is al-ikhlas, or purity, in the sense that one submits unto Allah and does not submit to anyone else or any other object. And so therefore, against Islam, or opposing Islam, is two matters. The first matter is arrogance. There are those people who don't want to submit to Allah. And Allah has told us about them in the Qur'an. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اِجْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and your Lord has said, worship me, I will respond to you, I will reward you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ, that those who are too arrogant, too prideful to enter into my worship, to submit to me, they will enter into the hellfire in a state of humiliation. This is the first group of people. He said Islam means two meanings, submission and purity in submission. So against it are two concepts, two groups of humanity. The first group are those who are too arrogant. They're not willing to submit unto Allah. They have no time for religion. They have no time to come and pray in the mosque. They have no time to fast Ramadan. They have no time to make hajj in their life. Because they are busy making ends meet. They are busy concerned about worldly affairs. They are busy with this and that, and so therefore out of their arrogance they are unwilling to submit. The second group of people want to submit to Allah, and they understand they should submit to Allah. However, they do not submit only to Allah, but rather they submit to Allah and to others. And this is known as a shirk. And regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارٍ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارٍ. That he who commits shirk unto Allah, he will not find any assistance, and he will be in the hellfire. And Allah has forbidden paradise for him. So, the person who commits shirk, it's forbidden for him to go to paradise. It is, his abode will be the hellfire, and none will assist him on the day of judgment. He has submitted to Allah, but yet he has submitted to others with Allah. And this is like the Christians tomorrow on Sunday. I'm sure in a city like Ottawa there must be a number of churches in every neighborhood perhaps. Tomorrow, what will happen around 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning? Well, these Christians will go forth from their homes, will have worn their best clothes, take their families to go to church, to submit to Allah, to submit to their Creator, to worship Him. They'll give charity, they'll praise Him, and so forth. But do they submit only to Allah? No. They commit shirk. They also submit, or they also worship Jesus, the Son of Mary. And if they're Catholics, like maybe an area like this, there might be a predominantly Catholic community, they will also worship the saints and others. So here, their submission is not a pure submission to Allah. And so therefore, they also will go to hell. And Allah will not forgive this sin. So therefore, Islam means to submit to Allah and to submit also purely unto Allah. So it just means submission. Because one may submit to Allah and to others with Allah, like the Christian. And this is the religion which Allah will not accept from anyone but this faith. That of submission to Allah and submission purely to Allah. And that's why both of these other groups of humanity will be condemned to the hellfire for all eternity. Those who refuse to submit, they don't have time, they are busy with this and that. And those who want to submit, but submit to others with Allah. Now, if we've understood what the meaning of Islam is, that's a brief definition of Islam. Now, somebody comes to you and asks you, what does it mean to be a Muslim? We all know the answer. It means to submit to Allah and to submit purely to Him alone. This religion of Islam, it is required upon us to learn every matter by which is part of our submission to Allah specifically. And let me give you an example to make that definition a little bit more clear. All of us, every single human being who has the ability to think, in other words, he's not, for instance, retarded, He's not insane. He has the ability and the faculties of reasoning. It is required upon every single human being to know Allah, to worship Allah, to believe in Allah, to know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to also have the desire and the will to submit to the religion that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And likewise, it is obligated upon him to do certain acts without exception, among which is the five prayers, among which is the fast of Ramadan, for those who have reached the age of maturity, among which is the Hajj, for those who have the means of making Hajj. And there are other acts which a person must know about if he is engaging in those matters. For instance, the rules of buying and selling, the rules of business transactions. It is not required upon every single Muslim to know every single rule of business transaction. But for the one who is engaging in business, for the one who has a store, the one who has a company, it is required upon him to know all these rules so that he does not enter into something which is forbidden. And likewise, for the person who is not married, it is not required upon him to know the regulations of marriage and divorce. But for the person who is married, it is required upon him to know the regulations of marriage and divorce. And likewise, if a person is a judge in a court, it is required for him to know the regulations of witnesses. And when is the testimony of a witness accepted, and when is the testimony of a witness rejected? Because this is what he is responsible for. So the point is that the issues, the matters of the Sharia, the matters of the religion, there are those matters which every single Muslim must know. And then there are those matters which some Muslims must know, depending upon either the responsibility that is upon their shoulders, they are leaders of the community, or in charge of something, or because they are engaging in those specific spheres of life. So the one who wants to get married, he has to know the regulations of marriage and divorce in general. And likewise, the one who is engaging in business and commerce, buying and selling, he needs to have some sort of knowledge of the rules of buying and selling. And likewise, the one who is going to be the imam in salah, he needs to know the regulations of leading people in salah. And that if he makes a mistake, when does he do the two extra prostrations? When does he not do the prostrations? When is it required? When is it recommended? And so forth and so on. What we will be discussing in these three lectures, inshallah ta'ala, are those matters which every single Muslim, male or female, must know. Matters of belief. In brief, because the discussion in detail, there's not enough time allotted in one afternoon or one evening to discuss these matters in detail. So in other words, we're going to have a brief introduction. And the hope is that this brief introduction would assist us in later learning about these matters in more detail. And by Allah's grace and mercy, I'm sure you have many qualified brothers in your community who can further expound on these issues in greater detail, and therefore fill any gaps left due to the brevity of these lectures. What are these three issues that I'd like to discuss this afternoon and evening? The first issue is that Allah has created us and provided for us what benefits us and has not forsaken us. Rather, He sent to us a messenger, and whoever obeys this messenger will enter into paradise, and whoever disobeys this messenger will enter into the hellfire. This is the first issue. And let us talk about it for the next half an hour or so. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His attributes and qualities, is that He is al-Hakim, the all-wise. He does not create anything except for a wisdom. Nor does he command anything except for a wisdom. He does not do anything out of sport or play for no reason whatsoever. But he does it for a wisdom, whether we perceive that wisdom or not. And likewise, our existence on earth, we were brought into existence by our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has a wisdom. It has a purpose. And that wisdom and that purpose we know about from the Quran. This is one of the matters where we know the wisdom, why we are existing on the earth. We know what is the purpose each of us have on the face of the earth. Some matters we don't know the wisdom behind, but this is a matter which we know the wisdom behind. Why? Because Allah has told us this wisdom. Allah in the Quran says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created either jinn or human being except to worship me. And the understanding of the verse is worship me alone and nobody else, or none with me. So our purpose here on earth, therefore, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason for our existence. And because this is the reason for our existence, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has taken it upon Himself to provide for us all the necessities of life, so that we would not need a necessity in life that would prevent us from fulfilling the purpose of our creation. So, for instance, the issue of one's sustenance, what one needs in order to continue as a human being on the face of the earth. And likewise, what the human race, the human species needs in order to continue its existence on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided that sustenance. And therefore, freeing human beings to fulfill the worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them for. And that doesn't mean, don't misunderstand me, that I'm saying that it means if you just sit in the mosque all day long, your food will come to you and your drink will come to you and so forth. No. But it means that the obligations which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has required of you as a human being, your seeking of your sustenance will not prevent you from fulfilling those obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the fear that by fulfilling the sustenance, your needs and so forth, that Allah provides for you, will cause you not to be able to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah's providing, Allah's sustenance to humanity is of two types. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Razzaq, and His rizq, His sustenance that He gives us, is two types. The first type is a general sustenance which we share with all human beings. Indeed, we share with the jinn, and we share with every single living creature on the face of the earth. The birds, the animals, the plants, and so forth. In the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us life, He provides for us that which needs us to continue life, He provides for us the means by which we can propagate life, by having children and so forth. This is a general sustenance which all human beings, all living things share. But there's a specific sustenance which only those who follow the prophets of Allah and the prophets of Allah themselves have portion of, have a share of. And that is the sustenance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to the soul through knowledge of what are the correct beliefs, through knowledge of what is the correct way to worship Allah, and then the feeling to worship Allah and the fulfilling of that worship, through knowledge of what is the correct behavior and conduct, and likewise then therefore to instill in the human being that he should then do those correct behaviors and that correct conduct. This is a sustenance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives to the prophets and to their followers. And this great blessing, of course, is the blessing of Islam. But as we cannot know of this sustenance, which is the purpose of our creation, by our own minds, or by reflection, or by engaging in some sort of spiritual activity, we need a revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us a messenger. See, humanity, human beings, in trying to see the aim of their creation and fulfilling that aim, have adopted three different types of paths, three different directions. There are those who say we can understand what is wanted of us and fulfill it by thinking. We have minds, and let us think, and let us debate, and let us investigate and try to figure that out. And these are known as the philosophers. And they try to attempt by their reasoning and their thinking to try to understand what is the purpose of their existence on earth, and what is the aim of their existence, and where are they heading after death, and why human beings should act one way and not act another way of behavior. But because the mind cannot perceive these matters, they go astray. The mind is unable to understand these matters by itself, on its own accord. A second group of people, they believe that they can understand these questions. Why we are here, where are we heading, how should we act with one another, by engaging in spiritual exercise. They say if we do certain types of worship, certain types of spiritual exercise, then our souls will become free from the chains of our bodies, and we'll be able to perceive all these matters. It will come like an inspiration or revelation to us. And these are the mystics, like the Hindus, like the Buddhists, and also amongst the community of Muslims, those who call themselves Sufis. Both ways are incorrect. The correct way is that we were sent a messenger. A man was sent to us, a human being, who would speak to us by a revelation given to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in general, the message of this messenger is that if you follow me and believe in what I have brought from Allah and apply that, you will go to paradise. And you will have success in this world. And if you do not believe in me, or do not apply what I have brought, you will go to hell. This is, in summary, the message of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so therefore, the issue of using one's reason, of using one's mind, comes in investigating whether this messenger is true or not. Whether this messenger is truly a messenger from Allah. Because for a person to say that he is a prophet or he is a messenger is only a claim. It could be true or it could be false. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us our intellect in order to investigate into this claim and see, is this claim a true claim, and that this person is truly a messenger from Allah, or is it a false claim that this person has lied against Allah? And once you accept that the messenger of Allah is truly a messenger of Allah, then the issue of using your mind to check in the message is no longer valid. And this will come, I guess, more apparent as we continue. And likewise, the message of the messenger is not just a message which is ideas or beliefs in the mind, but also has an application. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find telling Moses, alayhi salam, the Quran, وَقِنَ الصَّلَىٰ لِذِكْرِي, establish the prayer for my remembrance, to remember me. In other words, that just to know these matters without applying them, without the worship, the human being, the human soul, the human mind cannot benefit from that and will forget that. So therefore, the methodology of the Prophet of Allah uses the intellect in order to investigate whether that prophet is truly from Allah. And then also has the worship in order to affirm and to root deeply in the soul and in the psyche and in the mind of the individual those truths that the prophet came with. So it neither goes to the extreme of the philosophers, nor does it go to the extreme of the mystics. Now with that in mind, and since we understand that whoever obeys the messenger will go to paradise and whoever disobeys the messenger will go to hell, this is the meaning of our testimony. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But let us investigate in the 20 minutes or so left some of the matters that is implied when we testify Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. When we say, I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, what are some of the implications of that? The first implication is that we must understand and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all of humanity, indeed even the jinns. As Allah in the Quran says in a verse in Surah Al-A'raf, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all of humanity, all humanity, I am the messenger of Allah for all of you. So the first matter of testifying that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah is that we believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to every single human being. He was sent to the Arab and to the non-Arab. He was sent to the white and to the black. He was sent to male and he was sent to female. He was sent to the people of this time and the people of every single time till the day of judgment. And so therefore there can be no belief system except for his belief system. There can be no way to approach Allah of worship except for his way. There can be no law to govern humanity except for his law that he came with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something very important because many people, many human beings, do not know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to them. You find some people who think that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent only to people of dark complexion, colored people. Whether they are Arab or people from Africa or people from India, but people of dark complexion. And they feel that, for instance, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent to the white people, to the Europeans. This is a very common belief amongst many people from European descent. There are those who believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, but do not understand that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is their messenger. So they feel that they are following Jesus and you're following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's okay. There's no difference. This is also incorrect. It is important that every single human being know and understand that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to every single human being from now until the day of judgment. That all the doors leading to paradise, all the doors leading to Allah's pleasure, are closed except for this one door, this one path, that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, all ways human beings govern themselves, all laws, all conduct, all type of behavior, what's right and what's wrong, what's permissible, what's impermissible, what's lawful, what is forbidden, all systems of belief or practice or judging is only the correct one and the only one accepted and the only one to be allowed to exist publicly and manifest itself is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a message that needs to be brought to every single human being on earth because Allah has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to these people also. Not just only to us who were Muslims for centuries, in the sense our families and our grandparents and so forth. The second matter is that we must believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final prophet sent to humanity. Not only was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to all of human beings, so one cannot adopt a way or a creed or a law outside of his, but likewise there is no law or creed or way or belief which will come after his to abrogate his way, because he is the final prophet, and his revelation is the final revelation. As the Prophet ﷺ has said, or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, that Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, meaning he's not the father of any person here, but he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the Prophet, the Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the final prophet and messenger. And this is something that many people do not understand. There are many people who have claimed prophethood after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in the hadith, reported by Abu Dawood, that before the last hour, before the day of judgment, there will be great liars, so beware of them. Another hadith says there will be 30 liars. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and the line of prophethood, of prophets, is closed with me, as reported in Sahih Muslim. In North America itself, you find three groups of people who believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah, but do not believe that he's the final messenger of Allah. We know, for instance, that the majority of the people of North America, in the United States and Canada, do not believe that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, right? Because the majority of them are Christians and Jews and so forth. So the overwhelming people of North America, you know, maybe 300-400 million people who live in North America, do not believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is initially a messenger. And they do not believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to them in the first place. So there are three groups of people which say that Muhammad is a messenger, they believe in that, and was sent to them, but they believe somebody was sent after them. And this is, of course, the Nation of Islam, the followers of Louis Farrakhan, who say that Elijah Poole was a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, the Qadianis, or the Ahmadis, who claim that Ghulam Ahmed, who lived in India about 100 years ago, was a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, Rashad Khalifa's followers, or Submissive International, who believe that Rashad Khalifa, who lived in Arizona a few years ago, who was killed, is a prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Three groups of people. So this is the second matter which we must understand when we say Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That he was sent to all people, and also that he is the final messenger. What is the third matter that we must believe in? Well, the third matter is that the Prophet ﷺ came with two revelations. Not one revelation, but two revelations. He came with a book, which is the literal words of Allah, the Quran. And it's the book of Allah. It's the actual word which Allah literally spoke. And Allah sent to the angel Jibreel, Gabriel alayhi salam, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he came with a second revelation, which is the explanation of that Quran. And that's what we refer to as the Prophet's Sunnah. And Allah in the Quran calls it the wisdom, al-hikmah. And it is also a revelation from Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُحَىٰ. That he does not speak of his own desire. And whatever the Prophet ﷺ says is not his of his own desire. It's not something that he just made up or he just decided to say it this way. But it's a revelation sent to him. And that is why the earliest Muslims used to say that the Sunnah, Jibreel, the angel Gabriel, would come with the Sunnah and teach it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like he came with the Quran and taught it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the difference? That the Quran is the words of Allah, and so therefore it is an act of worship to recite it. It's an act of worship because these are the words of our Lord. There's a special quality to these words because they're the words of the Creator of the universe. But the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the words of a human being. And so therefore the meanings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the words are from a man like us. And so therefore there's no act of worship in actually reciting the words, merely by reciting them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this in the Quran. He has told us about these two revelations in the verse where he says, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. It is he who has sent among the illiterate, meaning the Arabs, a messenger from themselves. He was an Arab like them. They knew his tribe. He was from the Banu Hashim, which is from the tribe of Quraysh. They knew who he was. And pussy him. What did this messenger do? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. He would recite unto them Allah's verses. He would say to them, Allah said to you such and such. We find this in the Quran, where Allah says to the Prophet, say, Qul, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, Allah is one, the only. And so forth and so on. And also, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, he purifies them from their sin. Because they were in ignorance, they were in sin, they were in shirk, they were in disbelief. And he purified them because they followed him. So they left sinfulness, they left shirk, they left disbelief, they left all these evils. And then the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And he teaches them the book, that is the Quran, and he teaches them the hikmah, the sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the prophets' wives that they recite or mention that which is said in their household from the book and from the wisdom. So the Prophet ﷺ came with two revelations. And he said himself that verily I have been given the Quran and something equal to it, meaning the Sunnah. And the Prophet ﷺ has said they will never be separated until they return back to me on al-hawl, or the water, the big basin of water which is given to the Prophet Muhammad on the Day of Judgment, this reservoir. Meaning that the Quran and the Sunnah are inseparable until the Day of Judgment. So this is the third matter. He was sent to all people. He's the final prophet. He came with two revelations. And so therefore, whatever the Prophet tells us, we must believe. This is the fourth matter. We do not say, for instance, well, as some Muslims misunderstand, if you say, well, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that when a person is placed in his grave, two angels will come to him and ask him, who did you worship, what was your religion, and who was your prophet? One cannot say, well, I don't believe in this, because I didn't find it in the Quran. No, the Prophet ﷺ came with two revelations. And since he spoke these words, we must believe it, whether we comprehend it or not. Whether we have witnessed it or not, we must believe in it. So this is a third, fourth matter. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ tells us, we must believe it. The fifth matter is that we must act in accordance with whatever the Prophet ﷺ has commanded us. One cannot say that, well, you know, this issue of the beard is in the Sunnah. I don't find any verse in the Quran telling me to grow my beard, so I don't have to do it. This is incorrect. Because what the Prophet commands us is like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. Because his command to us is from revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore we are required to obey him. And the sixth matter is the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us from something. We must also leave that, whether or not we find that in the Quran or not. And there are many verses in the Quran which point to this. وَمَا تَعَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet gives you, take. And whatever he forbids you from, leave. And other verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to obey the Prophet, tells us to believe the Prophet. There's about 30 passages in the Quran, but due to the shortness of time, I can't mention them all at this time. But let's just mention one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to all of humanity, if you love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And this verse, the earliest Muslims used to call it Ayat al-Imtihan, the verse of the text. Because it's a test between that person who truly loves Allah and the person who falsely claims to Allah but in his heart doesn't love Allah. What is that test? If you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you truly love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and Allah will forgive you your sins. And this brings us to the seventh matter. That when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, We must worship Allah according to the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And this is why we find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say regarding the greatest act of worship, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you see me pray. He didn't say pray as your father taught you how to pray, pray as the Imam of the Masjid pray, pray as the way the people of your country pray, but pray as you see me pray. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said regarding the Hajj, the greatest act of worship in the sense that the greatest number of Muslims participated in one time. خُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take from me your rights of Hajj. Take from me the way you do Hajj. Even though the Arabs, before the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, used to make Hajj through the Kaaba. And they were familiar with many of the acts of Hajj, because they took that from the Prophet Ibrahim, Abraham alayhi salam. But yet the Prophet ﷺ still told them that the way to make Hajj is the way that he makes Hajj. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ has said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَجُّلٌ. That he who introduces something into this religion of ours, this affair of ours, it will not be accepted from him. So if one says, well, I think it's a good idea if we do it this way, and it's not from Islam, it won't be accepted from him, even if his intention is good. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ has said that the most evil of affairs are those new additions to the religion. وَأَنَّ شَرُّ الْأَمُورِ مُحْتِفَاتُهَا وَأَنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. And that every introduction is a bid'ah, heresy. وَأَنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And that every innovation is an error. And that every error is in the hellfire. This brings us to the eighth matter. That we must judge ourselves according to the rule and laws and the sharia which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. This is part of our testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And we must judge ourselves by the law of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَرَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. By your Lord, they do not believe until they judge you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning that which they have disputed. And this means that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, that we judge the religion of the Prophet ﷺ. We judge the revelation he came with, the Qur'an, and his statements, his actions, his sunnah. So the eighth matter is that we must judge ourselves according to the sharia of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And the ninth matter, the final matter of this testimony that Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah, is that we must love the Prophet ﷺ. And our love of the Prophet ﷺ is to be to the degree that it is greater than the love we have for our parents, than the love we have for our children, than the love we have for all humanity, indeed, than the love we have for our own very souls. As the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith reported in al-Bukhari upon Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يُؤْمِنْ أَحَدُكُمْ. None of you believe until I am more loved by him than his parents, than he loves his parents, his children, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, and all of humanity. So these are nine matters. So the first principle which we learn, which we must know of our religion, is that Allah created us, and he created us for a purpose, to worship him. And he provides for us our needs, and the greatest provision he has given us is that of Islam. And he has not left us without commanding us or forbidding us. Then he sent to us a messenger, that whoever obeys this messenger will enter into paradise. And whoever disobeys this messenger, whoever doesn't follow this messenger, will go to hell. And that this testimony, by saying that we believe, we testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, means these nine matters that we discussed in brief. That he was sent to all of humanity, even to the jinn, from his time until the day of judgment. That he is the final prophet. That he came with two revelations, the Book of Allah and the explanation of the Book of Allah in his sunnah, his way. That we must believe in what he said. That we must obey him in what he has commanded. That we must leave what he has forbidden. That we must judge to his sharia. That we must worship Allah according to his way. And that we must love him more than any other human being on earth. This is what this testimony means that we have investigated in brief, and this is the first matter of the three matters which we want to discuss this afternoon. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And we have a few minutes, I guess, for questions. For the sisters, because they might have not heard the question, the brother was asking that many Muslims in this country, and it's not just in Canada, also in the United States and in Europe, feel shy to say that these Christians and Jews, their religion is not to be accepted by Allah, because they see them do good deeds. And therefore, they imagine that, well, this is their way, and we have our way, and that's fine. This is a very dangerous belief. In fact, this belief takes one outside of Islam, as we might investigate if we have enough time.